Welcome back to the Couch Ride Report podcast. I'm your host, as always, Damian Parson. And on this show, I have a very special guest. I call her Queen. She is a newly Los Angeles Chargers fan, former San Diego. Her name is Latasha Tucker. What's going on, Latasha?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? How's your day going?
I'm fine, thank you. I cannot complain.
Well, I mean, yeah.
How about yours?
It was tiresome. Work was tiring, but I'm home in the nice, cool comfort of my house. I'm all set. I'm good. You know, I don't have to worry about dealing with no clients right now, no people. I'm just relaxed. But I'm definitely pleased, and it is my pleasure to have you on to the show. So I definitely want to tell you thank you for coming on, of course.
Well, thank you for having me.
Anytime. But like I tell you guys every week, every show, all of our supporters, thank you guys so much. Continue to support us. Hit us up on iTunes and you know, subscribe, leave a review. I don't care what type of review. It could be a 1-star. It could be a 5-star. I don't care. Just leave a review. Tell us what you think and show us love as always. Follow us on Twitter, CouchRR. Again, that's @CouchRR on Twitter. Hit us up, you know, show us love on there as well, and on Facebook. And if you're struggling to find us and follow us, just go to Google and type in Couch Ride Report. All our stuff is going to show for you, and they'll let you know just how to hit our links and everything. So, again, thank you guys. I salute you, all of our supporters. Thank you guys so much. But this is, again, one of our training camp preview shows, and it's for the Los Angeles Chargers, you know, who just moved from San Diego. And that's why I got my guest on. So we're going to get right into it. First down. You know, Latasha, you know it's well documented that your team has dealt with injuries for a few seasons. Some key injuries usually always creep up at the most inopportune time. So the main thing that I'm looking for, the first thing really that I'm looking forward to in training camp, Latasha, is pretty much, will your team get through training camp and preseason unscathed? Can everyone stay healthy? Granted, little minor nicks and bumps happen. It's football, it's physical, so that's understandable. But no torn ACLs, no torn Achilles, nothing crazy. As long as I believe you guys have a bright future this year, but you gotta stay healthy first. So what are your thoughts on the team's health and just everything that they've gone through?
Yeah, man, you know, I mean, I guess you guys already saw my frustration every week losing what I called household names, you know, to not just 1 or 2 weeks, but to the injured reserve list. You know, one thing I will say is that we did fire our strength and conditioning coach last year.
That's
so
big.
We have a new one in. Yes, I trolled and I kind of complained about that a little bit, but all jokes aside, they really did throw that other one out there, which I was glad. His name is Kent Johnston, so if anybody sees him around the streets of San Diego, y'all could let him have it. But yeah, they went on ahead and put another cat in that position, so hopefully that equates to better results. Hopefully. I mean, we didn't really have that other guy in there that long, but at the same time, it seems like it's only been the last 2 or 3 seasons, almost kind of McCoy's reign, if that makes sense, where we kind of struggled to stay healthy. Right. So seeing as we did replace him, I am hopeful that we're going to be able to remain on 2 feet for 4 quarters or 16 or more games if we need to.
Right. And that's big because, you know, as someone who played football in high school and pretty much my entire life, leading through high school, having a good or great strength and conditioning coach is big. When you're able to, because they put them in the perfect situations, perfect workouts, perfect training regimens. They get them, you know, help get them on the proper eating plan and diet plan and everything, and that helps. You know, you can't be too muscular. You can't be, you know, not muscular enough. You have to be in that pretty much the even medium, and that's the thing. So that change of the strength coach may very well prove to be a great thing for you guys, because if he can keep the guys strong, keep them healthy, keep their limbs and their loins, you know, from breaking and tearing just left and right, that will be huge. Like I said, I have a lot of big hopes for you guys this season. So definitely, like I said, keeping Phillip Rivers healthy, keeping Antonio Gates healthy, Melvin Gordon, who I believe is a stud and one of my favorite running backs going into this season, and of course, you know, we know it, Keenan Allen. We got to get him healthy. You know, you got to have him healthy. That's your number one receiver.
I mean, and we were just kind of speaking about that earlier. Our pass protection from last year was garbage. Right. You know, it was probably like 50th out of 32 teams, if that makes sense, or whatever. So, I mean, all we can do is just be grateful right now that Phillip Rivers even remained healthy throughout that debacle of pass protection, if that makes sense, and that we still have him going into this year. And kind of like we were just saying, you know, they did get that other cat out of there. All jokes aside, I think that he came from the Browns somewhere. Ooh. I don't know what he did with the Browns, but that should have just automatically been red flags right there, if that makes sense. So
that's
I might be wrong
I
about
agree.
That, and I'm sorry to the Browns fans if I am wrong, but I think they got him from somewhere out there or whatever, but he's gone. So I think it all kind of not really starts from there, but it does. Like you said, we need somebody in there that's going to be able to monitor or manage how they're working out and how they're eating and to make sure that they can, you know, last through anything.
Right.
Because it seems like if they sneeze too hard, you know what I mean, then they were missing 1 or 2 weeks. So,
you know, broken jaw off of a sneeze. Things like that happen when you don't train
right.
well. You know what I mean? So,
right.
you, hey, all, what you just said was 100% facts. I completely agree with you. Plus, like you said, if you grab somebody off of, ask Marvin. My guy Marvin, he's a 49ers fan. You know, when you take a Browns coach, you know, and bring them to your team, it's not usually the best thing. They had a safety playing corner last year. That's never good. So when you play players out of position, you know you got a coach from the Browns. But let's keep it moving to second down. So second down, we talked about the offensive line just now. One, the other thing that I'm looking forward to, Tasha, and like you said, you know, you just to reiterate, is the offensive line play. Can this offensive line improve, and how improved are they? Last year, Pro Football Focus, at the end of the year, at the end of every season, usually around January, February, Pro Football Focus will drop their end-of-season rankings for position groups. The San Diego Chargers, who are now in the LA Chargers, their offensive line, your offensive line, Latasha, that protects your potential Hall of Fame quarterback, Phillip Rivers, was ranked 31 out of 32. That
bless
is, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. So
when
you have, and then he's an older player, too. He's not, you know, some spry 22-year-old rookie. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for some years now. He's tough as nails, though. He's tough as nails. He's one of my favorite QBs just because of his attitude. I'm from the South, so the country accent's funny to me. You know, things of that nature. The wooden bow tie. Yeah, the bow tie. You know, the bow tie he kills the bow tie game with that. But he definitely has to. He needs to be able to stand in the pocket. You know, and stand confident. You know, you see players like, you know, Peyton Manning in his prime and Brady and those guys be able to get time back there where they can stand up like a statue and just shred a defense, find the open guy. You got to give your quarterback time. And when you're ranked 31st, yeah, I know he didn't have much time when you're ranked 31st out of 32 teams. But you guys made some moves, Tasha. You guys made some moves. You brought in two rookies, Dan Feeney, I believe, out of Indiana, and Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky, I believe. And if I'm not mistaken, you also grabbed, what's his name? He was on the, I believe he was on the Broncos last year.
Russell Okung.
Yeah. So you, and then you have Joe Barksdale at right tackle, and I believe Slauson at center, if I'm not mistaken. So if you have that lineup, you know, just a potential lineup, that's better than what you were dealing with. DJ Fluker was a fluke. He just, that's just all he was. He was a fluke. He was just big and strong, couldn't play in space, wasn't quick, wasn't athletic.
I'll start every snap just big and just ugly, just, I mean, up there. Oh, I got so tired of them calling his name and number. He's just, ugh.
But see, when you're so top heavy, Tasha, that's what happens. You fall forward. And it wasn't even like he was meaning to fall start. He just couldn't hold himself up too much. You know, he was struggling to – because you got to remember now, he's putting all that pressure, all that weight on his hand when he, you know, gets into his stance. his fingers were probably cramping and stuff. Like, I feel
you know,
so,
I don't.
So
that's nothing but excuses. You know, they're professionals. You know what I mean. So you just got to do better.
That's
sitting up
true.
There looking like Harambe. He was getting on my nerve every single time. It seemed like we had the ball on offense. At least one time during the drive, if that makes sense. It seemed like he was always getting penalized when he was out there, when he was healthy. But you know, those two kids that you just brought up, or whatever. That we brought in, I don't really know much about them or how they're going to do, but if nothing else, there's to be that concern just because they're rookies.
Right.
And I know there was another kid that we had or whatever that had got hurt. He almost pretty much going to be a rookie because I guess this is probably going to be like his first professional year.
Right.
And the you just mentioned Slauson, that other kid I was just mentioning, he might end up trying to compete with him for the center position. So we don't even know what our own offensive line is going to look like.
Exactly.
Barksdale, we don't know what he's going to look like, if that makes sense.
Right.
Even if he is out there healthy. So, I mean, all we can do is hope for the best. They did clean house a little bit, like you said. And, yeah, we got some young talent in there. But all we can do is just hope for the best. I mean, I guess that's the advantage to being as low as we were, is that hopefully all we can do is get better at this point.
I mean, you only got one spot to move down, and if I look at that ranking real it was the Seahawks. Trust me, you both of your offensive lines are climbing up, because there's a lot of other offensive lines that got worse. So I have nothing but faith. I mean, when you look at Forrest Lamp, he was actually one of the more versatile offensive linemen in this draft class. He played tackle, and the only reason why people are projecting him to play guard is because his arms are too short per se. But he's stout. He can pass protect. He can run block. He can do it all, you know. And he's athletic, so you guys can pull him. Everything I have, and then I have so much faith in him. And then when you grab Dan Feeney, the Patriots. A lot of people don't know this, but the Patriots, in the pick behind you guys, I think in the third round, I believe it was, the Patriots were actually going to draft Dan Feeney, but you guys snatched him before we did. So that lets you know that. Because our offensive line coach tries to get the, you know, is athletic and strong offensive lineman. Dan Feeney, he's good in pass protection, but he's a mauler in the run game. So I would not be, if he gets to start, if him and Forrest Lamp become starters, I would not be surprised to see a smiling Melvin Gordon back there. Like, I got two guys in the middle of this offensive line who can just move people. And if they can move people, that gets me going. So definitely, like you said, it's still up in the air. There are unknowns, and you can never predict it. But that's why it's such a key, because the offensive line, besides the quarterback, is to me, I don't know about anybody else, but the offensive line is the most important part of the team. Because if you don't have a good offensive line, your offense will not work. Your quarterback can't do much. So offensive line is key. You need a good to great offensive line and a good to great quarterback to win in this league. And I believe you guys are on the right track. But
I know, but like what you're saying, two of them, maybe even three of them, might be their first year. Yeah, you know, so it's kind of scary, but.
Definitely, of course.
Those are facts.
Yeah, trust me. I mean, what was it? A couple of years ago, matter of fact, last year we started. The Patriots started, our left guard was a rookie. Our right guard was a second-year player who started his rookie year. And you're going to go through those bumps. You already know it. You're going to go through those bumps where Phillip Rivers is, like, yelling at him on the sideline, like, okay, I got hit a little too hard just now, Forrest. Like, you got to tighten up. But that's just, you know, the expectation, you know, when you deal with rookies. But, you know, you guys got some good ones. So that's why I have some faith. I have faith in the offensive line this year. You got some good rookies, but
that's
definitely. Let's just jump straight to second down. And second down, this is something I'm really intrigued about. How well, you know, you got a new coach, of course. You know, it was Anthony Lynn. So, you know, you got rid of McCoy and everything. You got a new coach. So with new coach, a lot of times it's a new system, different scheme at times, things like that. You know, may not be completely different, but a lot of times it's some tweaking. They use different players. They use players differently than the last regime. So I'm really intrigued to see how you guys use your two-headed tight end sets, or your two-headed tight end monster, pretty much. When you have the old Wiley vet, Antonio Gates, just seems like he deals with a fountain of youth every year because he still comes out and plays pretty well, even though he's getting slower. Just like Jason Witten, you know, they don't need to be the fastest guys. They just get open. They just get open. And when you have the young second-year player, Hunter Henry, who I'm a huge fan of, and I really wanted the Patriots to draft him last year, but you guys got to, I think you guys got a steal with him. So when you bring those two, I'm really intrigued to see how you guys use them. Will it be kind of with the two tight end sets where you come out, you know, run formations, but you have the ability to audible and kind of spread out, and you have two receiving threats, and you have Melvin Gordon in the backfield who can catch the ball as well. So all your skill positions, everyone can catch, you know? So I'm really intrigued about that, just to see how you guys use those two good tight ends you have.
Yeah, well, I think Antonio Gates is this guy. Don't get me wrong, Hunter Henry is the future, of course. You know, let's just be honest about that. But just even, I don't know much about Anthony Lynn, to be honest with you, or how he is going to run this offense. I'll just go ahead and be upfront about that. But from what I see, I don't know that. It's kind of like what we were just saying as far as all those weapons that we have out there. Last year, for instance, and I know fantasy is not the same thing, but even from a fantasy perspective, it kind of frustrated me a little bit because I didn't really know who to put in there, if that makes sense. It seems like they was going to Gates just fine. He got hurt for like maybe a week or something like that. I think he pulled something or something like that or whatever. And then Hunter Henry showed out as well. You know what I mean? So, I mean, between the two of them, I think they can pretty much do whatever it is that they want to do. To be quite honest with you, they are going to have Keenan Allen back out there. They are going to have Gates hopefully all year and the young stud, you know. They're going to have, I like Tyrell Williams, what I saw out of him. And we are going to have Melvin Gordon. Hopefully he can repeat or at least maintain what it was that he was doing as long as we have more protection. So I feel like he's just literally going to go whatever way he wants to go. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a two tight end set all the time or most of the time. I think he's just going to have his way once he can just have time on his feet. You know what I mean? And every single snap, he's not running for his life.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to – I agree with you on that because I picked up Hunter Henry in fantasy the week whenever Gates took the little – he got a little injured or whatnot. I picked him up. I think it was the first game versus Denver, balled out. He had a good game, and I won that week anyway. You know, he gave me a lot of points. And I was like, oh, bro, like, yo, Hunter Henry may be my new starting tight end. Maybe they go ahead and kind of – I was thinking maybe they edge out the old wide receiver. Not really edge him out, but more so just allow the young guy to go ahead and play more. Yeah, no, it was really inconsistent because they kept going from one to the other. And like you said, you just didn't know who to start. And it threw me off to the point where I was like, I would sit Hunter Henry when he had a decent game. And when I started him, he did nothing. And I was like, see, now these guys are killing me. So I definitely see where you're coming from there. And like I said, I mean, for me, I think it makes the offense so difficult to game plan for when you do have that luxury of having two good tight ends. You have the future and you have the present. You have, and me personally, I feel like Antonio Gates is a Hall of Fame tight end. That's just me. Anybody wants to come on the show and debate that, we can. I believe Antonio Gates is a Hall of Fame tight end. He's up there with Jason Witten, with Tony Gonzalez. And, you know, of course, Gronk has to catch them, I think, in certain statistics and longevity. But when you look at Antonio Gates, he's a mainstay. You know, he LT left. Phillip Rivers still there. You know, Keenan McCardell left. And, you know, Vincent Jackson left. But Antonio Gates still, he stayed. And he still put in work. So I agree, you know, 100% with you completely that Antonio Gates is the number one guy. I'm just intrigued to see how much they use them together. I feel like you should put them on the field at the same time, almost in some certain sets and certain situations, just to give defenses, kind of get them in like a base formations on defense where you keep, you know, they have to put linebackers in, and not many linebackers are going to be able to cover both of those guys. You know what I mean? They're going to be a headache if game planned right and execute it properly, because it all comes down to execution, of course. You know this. So as long as you guys execute the way that you, I know you can, and the way that you guys have done before, that's a scary tandem with those two, because not many teams have two tight ends that can legitimately come on the field and give you 100 yards in a touchdown apiece, you know?
Well, I mean, the key is, of course, those two staying healthy.
Right.
And hopefully if everything does work out with that O-line we just talked about a minute ago, you know, that's also going to have a huge part of it. But, I mean, I'm optimistic. I think that they're going to look much better than they did last year. To be quite honest with you, they lost in such a distinct fashion, if that makes sense. I don't even know how else to put it. But,
right.
You know, it's not like they were just out there getting drugged every single week. You know what I mean? They were either beating themselves or just doing foolish things or whatever. But I feel like as long as they can get some of that under control, which will kind of fall in line once they get some of the healthy players back and once Phillip Rivers is able to just maneuver a little bit differently, if that makes sense, as opposed to just being panicked. So we'll see.
Most definitely. I mean, when you look at it, like you said, health is the number one thing. If they stay healthy, you guys will be fine. And you guys lost a lot of close games last year. It's like, it was just crazy because it was so many games you guys were in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the Chargers got it. And next thing you know, it's like, you know, something crazy happens, and you guys shot yourselves in the foot. So, like you said, if they can, you know, stay healthy and turn the tables on their own mistakes, stop shooting themselves in the foot, stop making these self-inflicted wounds, the sky's the limit for this team. So
yeah, well, you know, that's our thing, the self-inflicted wounds and the shots in the foot. That's become a bit of our thing now. So to some degree, you almost kind of expect it, you know, case in point, losing to the Browns. I'll be honest with you, I was not really surprised by that loss. And I love the Chargers. God knows I do. But I was not totally surprised by that loss, just the way that everything had been kind of playing out around us. But hopefully that dark cloud is gone. You know, it was almost like a dark cloud was just kind of following around us everywhere we went, you know, whether it was just stupid mistakes or just the worst of luck with whatever was happening. But all I can do is hope that everything has been turned around. A lot of the excuses or the things that we had been leaning on, at least for the past 2 years or whatever, are gone, even down to McCoy, if that makes sense. So everything's going to look different, hopefully, and we'll have to see how that's going to play out. Now, something else that I feel could kind of factor into this either way, for or against us, is the whole kind of homeless situation, if you will. You know what I mean? We're going to be out in StubHub Center, and I only know of that arena from boxing. You know what I mean? Or what? But I don't know how that's going to work. It seemed like it's going to be like an arena league type of situation. It's only going to hold about 28,000 people. I did see that the season tickets were hitting for like 600, I guess, for like the quote unquote nosebleed seats. But how far back are those going to be?
Right.
You know what I mean? So to be honest with you, I'm kind of curious about that experience. I was hoping that I was going to be able to get out there to catch a game or something. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I was just curious to see how that was going to be with a professional team like that in such a small venue, to see if it was truly going to be loud, even if it was for the other team. You know what I mean? I just didn't know how it was going to be set up or whatever. And it might really work. Maybe it'd be really cool knowing that you got the cheapest seats, but you can still, you know, almost throw your drink on the field and hit a player. If, you know what I mean? I don't know that very many people have that kind of access unless they come in all the way out of the pocket, you know.
Right.
So that kind of plays into it. They're not practicing where they used to practice, you know what I mean?
Right.
And even kind of coming into this, I think we thought, yes, we did think that we were only going to be in the StubHub for, I think, 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. And then that got pushed out with whatever happened to the construction with the Rams facility. So, you know, everything's kind of just up in the air as far as that is concerned, too. You know what I mean? Where we're practicing or training and where we're going to be playing. So all we can do is hope for the best. You know, it's like they literally almost changed everything, you know. So hopefully the only way we can go is up.
It's crazy because to put it in, you know, somewhat of a parable, you know, it's like dealing with, you know, being in a relationship and it just didn't work out. And you just move. You had nowhere to go. You had nothing. You just decided to pack up everything you got, everything you own, and just move to a new city. And it's and just like, does this move make me better? It's like you feel, it's like a brand new start, a fresh new you, you know?
I feel like our owner threw a big old giant temper tantrum. Whatever did not go his way, because he said early on that he didn't really want to come into the Rams situation as a tenant. I don't know if that meant that he wanted to be like some kind of co-owner. I don't know what was going to happen. At first, I was with it because I just wanted to get them the hell out of Jack Murphy Stadium, which is kind of where they were still playing. They're calling it Qualcomm now, but come on, that's where the Padres used to play
right when
they were brown and orange. You know how old that stadium is. So, but then, I mean, it seems like nobody was with it. To the point where they literally had some of the movers out there that were protesting, that were saying they weren't going to move the team out of the city and stuff like that. And I believe a lot of some of the owners spoke out. Nobody was really kind of supporting this, especially because they just put a team in LA. You know what I mean? So it just seems like it was kind of Dean Spanos just kind of shooting off, I guess, just off of emotion or whatever, however he operates. You know what I mean? It didn't really make sense to anybody. Not to his fellow owners, not to the team themselves, not to the residents of LA who technically didn't even want us to come up there, you know what I mean? So that's a whole other dynamic that I didn't even speak about earlier, even though they're going to be kind of out of pocket with everything, but, you know, it's going to be a hostile environment to some degree. They literally did not want us to come, you know, and our team didn't even want to go, you know, if we're just going to keep everything real, but I don't know.
Those are big things, though. Those are so, because that can impact the team in so many ways. You know, it's just like it's crazy because I personally feel like the NFL definitely should have handled this with more, I guess you could say kid gloves, more caution, you know, more planning, you know, plan this thing a little bit further ahead, you know, where if anything, you guys are quote unquote, in your words, homeless for just a season. Not two or more, just a season.
Right.
You deal with a season in that small venue. It could help. I mean, it depends on how they sell the tickets. Of course, you know, for home games, you got to sell more home tickets. So that may help when you're on, you know, you're on defense and the defense is like, get loud. And it's literally not that many people in that small venue and it can get as loud as
I see what you're doing there, but I get it. Yeah.
Listen,
I hear you, but I mean those are facts. So sometimes you got to just sign for some of those L's. You know what I mean? 28,000 people, and I'm stretching it. I think the number is like 27,500 something. I'm just saying 28,000 just to round up.
Yeah, just
you know,
round
but
up. That's what I do too. Just
you know it's going to be different. But like I said, that might be cool. I haven't been to a whole lot of NFL games. I haven't even been to a whole lot of NFL stadiums, even when I visited the cities or whatever.
Right.
But I just can't imagine what that's going to be like. So it may work, you know, not just as far as us winning games or anything like that. But, I mean, it may work to where people really like that fan experience. Who knows, you know. But I just hate that even if they do, now we done jumped into this thing with the Rams. Well, what if they do like this little small nested experience or whatever, and that works for us. Well, you know, now I feel like we're pretty much married to the Rams. I don't know what that paperwork looks like or whatever, but
that's not a good marriage either, not with the Rams.
Right.
Sorry, Rich.
Right.
But because I know Rich is gonna listen to this. I know Rich is a Rams fan. Sorry, my brother, but that's not a good.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but those are facts. I'm taking my L's. He got to take those too. So.
I love it, girl. I love it. Hey.
But at least he got a ring, so let me just take all the L's today.
I mean, true that. I mean, it was a long time. Never mind. I'm not even going to do that to you, Rich. I'm not even going to do that to you. I'm not going to talk about how long ago those rings were, but you got them. You guys earned it. But with all that being said, we can jump straight into fourth down. Pretty much, what are your closing feelings? How do you truly feel about the team? What are your predictions possible? Not so much predictions because it's too early, but just how do you feel? Do you feel optimistic? You feel good? You feel a little anxious, a little nervous? How are you feeling?
To be honest with you, I don't really know. I do feel some type of way just because of everything that we have gone through, you know, and I feel like it's going to be a little bit different for us, whether people are going to troll us or actually be empathetic toward that. But we as fans and even the team got kind of caught in the middle of all that or whatever. So, I feel still a little bit hurt that the team is not even in San Diego. I feel hurt knowing that that's not where Rivers wants to be with his 8 kids, if that makes sense or whatever. But, you know, just all, how all that played out.
Of a family.
Yeah. So, And I do feel hopeful that we're going to be able to remain healthy. I'm glad that they got that strength and conditioning guy out of there. His name again was Kent Johnston. If anybody sees him running around out there.
She is putting this man on blast, but go ahead.
I still got goons in San Diego. But I'm just But anyway, we got him out of there. You know what I mean? So hopefully everybody does well. We'll have to see what the rookies do on our offense. I like the way our defense is looking, to be honest with you. We didn't really speak on that. And we don't have to, but I just feel like they're actually going to be. You know, I had the nerve to reach for my defense a few times last year. I hate to keep bringing fantasy into this talk, but
yeah, it's cool.
I'm passionate about that too. But I reached for them quite a few times last year, you know what I mean, in fantasy. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do too. But if we get all our weapons back and they keep Phillip Rivers on his feet and our defense shapes up, then I agree that it could be a pretty scary team. They may see us as a little league team or an arena team because we're coming out of the step hub or whatever. But on paper, I think that it's going to look okay. So hopefully, I feel like we've said it a million times, but it is going to come down to us remaining out there on the field. So
very true. The best ability is availability. You got to be available to play. And just pretty much before we close, I'll give my thoughts on it. I believe you guys, like I said, you guys are a scary team. When you're looking at it just strictly on paper, you know, I believe you guys can make a run and give Oakland, who, of course, is now everyone's, you know, AFC champion, everybody, AFC West champion. They're not beating my Patriots. I'm not letting that happen. But
You might have to revisit that as we get closer into the season. I mean, it's not the same Raiders team.
No, it's not.
I'm by no means a fan, but you know, you might have to rethink that. They might give you guys, look, you may not get the AFC gift wrapped and handed to you again this year.
Wait a minute now.
If everybody can remain healthy,
you guys might
finally have some. You know, a bit of a push, if that makes sense, before you guys get there, instead of just steamrolling past everything. We're sick of you guys. We're tired of your winning ways.
If teams could just beat the Steelers and not let them keep meeting us, we'll be fine. I mean, it'll be more competitive. Sorry, Ryan, but it is.
And that's facts. And sometimes I find myself dependent on them. You know what I mean? And then I feel that same Steeler playoff disappointment that they feel. You know, and I done already felt it twice.
Shots
my team wasn't
fired.
Even in the playoffs.
Shots
fired. My team wasn't even in the playoffs, so I'm sitting there dependent on them, and they can't never seem to get rid of y'all.
This is true.
We're sick of you guys. That's what it boils down to. We're sick of the Patriots, if you want to know the truth. So even if it comes out of my division, hey, if the Raiders are going to be the ones that give them a run for their money down the stretch when nobody least expected it, then hey, let it be the Raiders.
This is true.
As long as it ain't y'all.
Anybody but us, right? But
as long as it ain't the Patriots.
Like I said, at the end of the day, I do believe you guys will give the Raiders. I believe you guys give the Raiders a run for the division if, as long as you stay healthy. Because like I said, you have the weapons galore. You have the weapons for it, the running back, the tight ends, the receivers, and hopefully, you know, the young offensive line, the mixture of veterans and rookies, the youth and everything on the offensive line, and then of course Phillip Rivers. And everyone knows that Phillip Rivers was never true, besides when LT was there. After LT left and, you know, you lost some of the pieces, he was never fully equipped with the best of the best, you know, like a Big Ben. You know, you look at Big Ben, he has no excuses on offense. Defense,
that part's true.
Yeah, defense is not that good. But on offense, he has some of the best. You know, he got the best running back, arguably the best receiver, you know, one of the best offensive lines. Phillip Rivers hasn't had that in a long time. So I believe giving him those weapons and just the potential of everything on your team, you guys can be a playoff team, in my opinion. So I'm excited. The LA Chargers is one of the teams I'm excited to see because I'm a football fan at heart. I'm a Patriots fan secondly. So, you know, I want to see good football. I don't want it to be a cakewalk. I like to see some nail biters. Our last two Super Bowls have been nail biters. So it is what it is. But again, Tasha, this has been just a fun show, and I appreciate you so much for coming on. You are amazing and awesome. So we want to give a shout out.
I forgot we were recording. We're all caught up into it.
It's all good. You know what I mean?
Anytime.
You definitely you know, just a big shout out to all the women out there who watch football, who love the sport and everything. Big shout out, you know, and I just salute you. I bow down to you. I give you so much love because you are the queen. I always call you the queen. So, again, I thank you so much for coming on.
As always, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. And I probably most likely will be inviting you back. So as long as your schedule permits, I would love to have you back. But
all righty. Sure, we'll come back.
Thank you. So, again, as always, guys, you know, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank Tasha for coming on. My name is Damien, the host, as always. This is the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm about to say Rams for a second. Chargers.
No, don't do that.
Training camp preview show. I'm Damien. That's Latasha. We're here just to bring the original sports perspective from our couch to yours. Thank you guys for listening. Y'all have a good night.